Community matters. Solutions to local issues and discussions with leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging Spirit FM, here's your host, Seth Mila.
Thank you, and once again, welcome to Community Matters. This is an opportunity for us to talk to individuals that are doing things in our community, either locally and nationally, even internationally, that doing some things that help our community as a whole. And today is no exception. We have Patrick Hubbard, who is the founder and president of Living Bread Ministry. Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing really well. Glad to be here.
I really do appreciate you taking time away from all that you're doing to stop by and just have a conversation with us. I know sometimes scheduling can be hectic to squeeze something like this in. So we appreciate it. Really do.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
So talk to me a little bit about Living Bread Ministry. I love the name. I think that's a great name. What is it that Living Bread Ministry does?
Well, Living Bread is an organization that my wife and I founded in 2004. With an emphasis on what we call comprehensive church planning. And what we found early on is in the slums of the developing world, there's not typically a lot of church planning that goes on. It's more focused, the ministry's more focused on humanitarian development type work. And so what we wanted to bring those things together in one organization. And so what Living Bread does is we go into some of the poorest communities on the planet. We help establish local-led, local churches, and then we equip and empower those church plants to minister to the needs of their community. So they're doing discipleship and evangelism just like every other church, but we also are helping them to feed their community,
right?
To help with education, to do some job skills training and things like that. So we're doing comprehensive. We're doing a lot of things that are benefiting the community as a whole, not just physically and or spiritually, but both. And it's all done in the context of the local church.
Trying to meet as many of the needs of the community you go into as possible to make it a whole helping approach, correct?
Correct. It's just based on a kingdom understanding of the gospel. It's not just about saving souls, but it's about redeeming people and seeing the gospel work in their lives, not only in eternity future, but here and now today.
Absolutely. So this is a huge undertaking that that you go into a community. How do you decide where is your next plant? Where is your next project? How do you decide that?
Okay. Well, one thing that we did very early on that kind of differentiates us from a lot of organizations is the first thing that we did was when we went into Brazil, which is where we began working.
Mm-hmm.
We now work in Thailand and Cambodia as well. But we went into Brazil, and the first thing we did was establish an indigenous leadership team to oversee the day-to-day workings of the ministry. So from day one, the baton was in their hands, so to speak. There was never a need to pass the baton. We empowered them from the beginning. And so a lot of those decisions are made collectively with the leaders on the ground who are familiar with the communities. A lot of it has to do with the particular church planters that the Lord raises up. If they're from a given community or have a heart for a given community, once we kind of discern their call and begin working together, then that will kind of lead and direct where we establish our churches.
So when you're going in, one of the main focuses, if I'm hearing you correctly, is you want to involve the individuals that are living in that community as much as possible in this project.
Exactly. Again, we establish the local church. It's led by people from the community, made up of people from the community. And then we empower them to do the ministry. So when hungry people are fed, they're fed by their neighbors.
Right.
When kids are given school supplies, they receive them from the members of the church, the people in their community. And that's helpful. For example, you know, when you're feeding people, often over the years we've run into cases where, say, mom is a drug addict,
mm-hmm.
and she would sell the food for drug money versus feeding it to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when it's coming through the local church and it's coming from their neighbors, they're all connected. They all know one another. And
right.
so they know that's going on. So rather than cutting them off and stop feeding the children,
mm-hmm.
someone in the church will just take the food, prepare meals, and then bring them over to their neighbor and feed the kids and talk with them. So having that local presence of not outsiders that are there locally, but actual people from the community really helps with accountability and facilitating the work.
You know, and that's one of the things that I have found in talking to ministries and organizations that help people all over the country, all over the world, is that the local community knows best how to serve the community without fail, that outside entities can come in, but they never have the effectiveness and the local knowledge base of what to do, how to do it, the nuances of how to get things done as any better than the actual locals themselves. They can provide what's necessary, but the local people, the community, the neighborhoods, that's how it works the best.
I would agree. And that's, we kind of see ourselves, our role as a role of facilitators.
Right.
So we come into the place and we bring the gifts and skills and resources that we have.
Right.
And we connect them to the gifts and skills and resources that are present in the community. And we facilitate and assist and empower them to begin working out and doing what God has called them to do. That's a big part of it. A lot of the times among the very poor, again, if there is a church present, they have no means of ministering to the community, so they kind of get relegated off to the sidelines. They deal with spiritual matters,
right,
but outside entities come in and sponsor the children or feed the community or educate or clothe or whatever the case may be, and the church gets relegated to the sidelines. And with our approach, we actually empower the church to do what the church is called to do.
You're becoming part of the community.
Yes.
That's amazing. Okay, so this is not a small undertaking at all. Every time you go into a project, how long are you committed to each one of these areas? How long does it take from the time you decide, okay, we're going to go to this part of the world, we're going to get started? How long does that process take until you're, you know, established, up and running in the community?
It's a long process, and that's one of the hurdles that we have. Typically, we'll use Brazil as an example because that's where we've been working the longest.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from just a couple of people meeting in a home, praying, reading the Bible, to an established local church that's fully sustaining itself and ministering to the needs of the community, it's like a 10-year process. Mm-hmm. And for us as Americans, that's a long time horizon, and it's hard to think of, but when you start with a people that are literally eating out of the garbage in order to survive,
right,
and you bring that to a place where there's an established local church that owns its own building, is sustaining itself, supporting their pastor, funding these ministries and things that they're doing, it takes a long period of time. And that's why you don't see church planting among the very poor,
right,
because people don't want to commit to the length of time and the amount of resources it takes to get it up and going. But once you've done it and you've got a church that's self-replicating, the fruit will bear for generations to come.
Oh, absolutely. And it has a long generational impact on that area and with the ripple effect on other areas around it as well.
Absolutely.
So how did you get involved with this? You're the president and founder of Living Bread Ministry. How did this get started? Is this something you've done from from your earliest adulthood to now? How did this get started?
Well, it's really interesting. My wife actually came to the U.S. as an exchange student. We met at Jefferson Forest my senior year. We graduated in June. Later that year, I went to Brazil and we actually got married. That was my first time ever traveling out of the country, ever seeing the level of poverty.
Yeah.
I was not a believer at the time, but it always stuck with me. So once we both became believers, we immediately had a burden for ministering to the poor, not only in Brazil, but around the world. And just through life, it took several years, but in 2004, we finally everything kind of fell into place, and we kind of took the step of faith. We left our careers, walked away from everything, started a nonprofit, and we went to Brazil and began learning from the locals, learning from the churches that were ministering in the slums. We could only find two, by the way, in a city the size of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But that was the process, and we just saw that there's no— You can't take the people from the slums and bring them into a middle-class church and incorporate them into the body.
Right.
It doesn't typically happen. And so short of people going there and facilitating church planting in the community, the church is not going to be established there. And so that was our heart. But we didn't want to just establish a church that only cared about the soul and preached to hungry people and left them hungry. We wanted to bring in a comprehensive understanding of the gospel that we not only proclaim it, but we manifest it at the same time.
How many people do you think you've reached as a result of your ministry?
If nothing else for fundraising efforts, we probably should have kept better track of this. But we really have not. And then the slum communities in the developing world, they're very transient. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when you're planning a church because there's always a turnover in the people in the community. They go where they can find work. Please come in, run them out of the community, and they, you know, or whatever. So I really don't know, but I can say that every year we provide about 25 tons of supplemental food. We've provided over a decade. We've been providing school supplies for hundreds of kids. We provide medicine. Our churches typically are in the range of about 50 people. Many hundreds, but thousands, but
Well, here's the reason I ask you this question, because this is something that I see that is consistent with many, many people that have, well, to put it simply, said yes to God. A lot of people feel, well, there's so many things going on in the world. I'm only one person. How can I make a difference? You and your wife are a great example of two individuals that could have easily said, well, we're just two people. How are we going to make any difference in this world? We shouldn't even try. We'll never amount to anything. You could have taken that vein, but instead you did a lot of praying. And I know the decision to leave a regular job or a business and go into the ministry is a difficult decision to make. I know that. But it's an example of how you and your wife decided, well, let's see what happens. Let's give God a chance to do what God does. And now you are helping hundreds, if not thousands, of people all over the world.
Yes, and that's true. In January of 2004, we made the decision that we were going to take steps of faith until the Lord closed the door. And here, 14 years later, we're still taking steps of faith.
More doors being opened every day.
More doors. We have more opportunity to plant churches than ever. We've always had more opportunity than resources. That's part of nonprofit ministry.
Sure.
But one unique thing about us is we've set up Living Bread Thailand, and it is the only organization in the country of Thailand that has been approved by the government for the express purpose of training evangelical pastors and establishing evangelical churches. There are much more well-known organizations in Thailand who have been there for a lot longer than us, but they have to come at church planting kind of through the back door. They have to do humanitarian work and things like that. And we've been given a green light to just unashamedly train pastors and establish churches, and no one else in the country has that level of freedom. And I think that we have it because we're not just converting people to a different religion, but we are feeding people, clothing people, caring for the community, and all of our leadership are Thai. Mm-hmm. We didn't bring in a bunch of Westerners.
It's the trust level.
Yep.
You're establishing trust, and that is so very, very important. Okay, there are so many other things I want to talk about, but we're running out of time. So let me ask you this. How do we get more information about all of the projects that are going on with the Living Bread Ministry? And I'm assuming because you're a nonprofit, you rely a lot on donations, how can we get involved, maybe volunteer some help and make donations, that kind of stuff? How can we get involved and get more information?
Absolutely. The website's the easiest place to go, livingbread.org. Of course, we're here local. I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with anybody that would like to learn more about it. And you can reach me through the website is probably the easiest way. We do have an upcoming cornhole tournament fundraiser. I'll have some information up on the website soon about that. We're nailing down the dates and the location. But that's one way that people can help and pray for us. We definitely covet your prayers. You know, in communities where you're dealing with gang violence and murder and prostitution and human trafficking and all those things, all of which we're engaged dealing with through our church planning efforts. There's just a lot of spiritual warfare.
Well, then we will absolutely do that. Thank you again, Patrick, for stopping by. And again, it's the Living Bread Ministry, and your website is livingbread.org.
Livingbread.org, that's
livingbread.org.
Correct.
Again, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for all that you're doing and the dedication to God's work. It is it's heart-inspiring.
Amen. Thank you.
If there's a topic you would like to be discussed on Community Matters, please send an email to seth@spiritfm.com. Thank you for listening to Community Matters on your encouraging Spirit FM. We'll be right back.